Hallelujah.
Join me, lift up your hand and give quality thanks to God this morning. I can never thank him enough. I don't know about you, but I cannot thank him enough. I give him the glory. I give him the glory. I give him the glory. I don't know about you. I can't thank him enough. January, February, March, April, June, the first half of the year is ended or is ending. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. Thank him from the depth of your heart. Your protector, your provider, your preserver. There is nothing he ought to have done that he did not do. Thank him. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercies forever. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercies forever. Sing again, everybody. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are. Yes, you are good, and your mercy forever. Raise your hand and sing again, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. Yes, you are good, and your mercy forever. Sing again, Lord, you are good. Yes, you are good, and your mercy forever. And your mercy, and your mercy forever. And your mercy, and your mercy forever. And your mercy. Again, Lord, you are good, everybody. Lord, you are good. Yes, you are. You are good. And your mercy forever. Again, lift up your hand. Give God thanks from the depth of your heart. Truly give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Heavenly Father, we can never thank you enough. We are only thanking you some more. Receive our thanks. You have been faithful to us, and so we are grateful to you. Thank you for bringing us not just to the last Sunday of the month of June, but the last Sunday of the half of the year. We are grateful to you. Thank you for keeping us alive and well. Thank you for provision, for protection, for preservation. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name. And now, O Lord, perfect everyone's blessing today. Whatever you are thanking God for is hereby perfected. In Jesus' wonderful name. And somebody say loud, amen. Amen. It will interest you to know in the first and the second service, 61 children have been dedicated today. Amen. In May, the last Thanksgiving day, it was over 100. It doesn't happen like this everywhere. We must never take God for granted. He has done all things well. Has he done all things well for you? Raise your voice again and shout, thank you, Jesus. And this morning, every invisible barrier around your life shall be broken down. I didn't hear somebody say amen. Every invisible barrier around your life, your family, your business, your career shall be broken down today. Father, send me this morning invisible barrier breaking word. He said, it's not my word as hammer. Lord, send me your hammer nature of word to break every barrier. My word is as hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. Let every invisible barrier be broken by your word that cannot be stopped. Break them into pieces. Oh yes, I believe you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. If you believe in that prayer, say loud amen. Amen. And please get seated. I can see you clapping your hands for Jesus. Do it louder with a shout to the Lord. May I joyfully welcome every one of us into this wonderful, glorious Thanksgiving service, which is also doubles as our breaking invisible barrier service. As we have called it, it will answer in your life. It is my year of breaking limits. Say it louder. And it shall be so for you forever. In Jesus' precious name. The prophetic focus for this month is serving God pays the most. Somebody please say that with me again. If you will be paid the most by God, saying it again. Job 36:11 is our running scriptures or text. If they obey and serve him, they will not need to pray, to spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If you are truly serving God, that is your portion. Spending your days in prosperity, no longer adversity, and your years in pleasures, no more pressure. You will not suffer adversity again. I taught that prayer is for somebody. You will not suffer pressure again in your life. And of course, our teaching series every Sunday for the month, this being part 4B, is serving God and the interest of his kingdom pays the unmatchable. Meaning, you cannot find it anywhere. You cannot find it anywhere. The kind of pay that God gives to those who serve him. You cannot. The Almighty God cannot pay you as ordinary man. Serving him entitles you to his package of wages. Get ready. Before the end of the midst of the year, it will amaze you the kind of package God will give to you. I didn't hear your amen. As mentioned earlier, this is part 4B. We had great time teaching, receiving God's word in part 4A. And I believe that as we build on it, God will reach out to you again in Jesus' precious name. Now, we are reminded again this morning that serving God is not mere religious hobby. I'm in the choir. I'm in the evangelism team. I'm in crowd control unit. It's not an hobby. Serving God is not a spiritual activism. Serving God is a big time business. God is a businessman. How do we know that? Jesus, his son, that knows him more than any other person, said so. Luke 2:49. Don't you know I must be about my father's business? So Jesus had a father, a businessman. John 5:17. My father walketh hitherto, and I walk. The essence of business is profit making. And our God is a profit maker. I will lead you in the way that you should go, and in the way that you should profit. Isaiah 48 verse 7, 10. Isaiah 48, 7, 10. Profit making is the nature of our Father God. And profit making comes out of business. Everybody in business goes with profit making in view. Romans 12 verse 11. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. So business calls for fervency, zeal. Serving the Lord with fervency as a business person, with the view of making profit. For in all labor there is profit. Proverbs 14, 23. In all labor in the kingdom, there is profit. The profit in this kingdom is the reward we receive from our God. Our God is a rewarder God. It is serving God that will make giants out of ordinary believers. They call you ordinary. Start serving God and he will turn you to a giant. The catalyst of gianthood is kingdom stewardship. The catalyst for kingdom gianthood is kingdom stewardship. Look at David. David the servant became David the king. Look at Abraham. Abraham the servant became the business emperor. Look at Job. Job the servant became the greatest in the east. You can't serve the great God and end as a small man. Peter, the local fisherman, became Peter the Great. On a Sunday like this, I can't tell on how many altars Peter's name will be mentioned. Peter said, Peter said, Peter said, ordinary fisherman. He was ordinary. He served God with his ordinariness. And God turned him into a giant. Look at Bishop Oyedepo. Nothing somebody may say is too outstanding about him. But kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship. You cannot serve the great God and end at the small man. No. Smallness gives way when you engage in kingdom stewardship. That is the testimony of a number of us who are seated here this morning, both from the altar all the way to every one of us. That is my testimony. Serving God will turn a non-entity to a celebrity. You will be the next to testify. I thought I heard somebody say amen there. Now, we have said that when you serve God, he pays you the unmatchable. What do we mean by that? What are the unmatchable benefits and rewards you assess when you serve God? Number one, serving God guarantees divine protection. Divine protection. Somebody say with me, divine protection. If that's what you have for serving God, say it again. What will you have for serving God? Now, please note, the Bible tells us about arrows that fly by the day and terror of the night. Psalm 91, beginning from verse 3, we'll come to verse 5. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. We are not talking about physical things, but invisible things. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. You will not be afraid. He will protect you. He will protect you. For serving him. We have a clear example of Job. Job chapter 1 verses 8 to 10. For serving God. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant? Look at that, my servant. The greatest description that God gives to any of his children is servanthood. To be called a child of God is good, but it is not as important as being a servant of God. That there is none like him. in the heart. A perfect and an upright man, one that feared the Lord and eschewed evil. And here was Satan said, do you think that Job is serving you for nothing? So Satan is aware that Job was being protected. Hear what he said further. Have you not made an edge about him? On what account? On the account that he's your servant. And about his house. And about all that he had on every side. Thou art blessed the work of his hand. And his substance has increased in him. This is Satan testifying. Not Job speaking. God will so bless you to a point that Satan will testify. Did you hear what I said at all? If you share a testimony, then you have one. But when people begin to share testimony about you, then you don't only have testimony, you have become a testimony. You will become a testimony. You know, Satan is a liar. But that day he told the truth, because the things happening in the lives of Job, he was overwhelming. Overwhelming. Please lift up your hands, all of you serving God. I decree that God will bless you to a point that your neighbors and the devil will testify. When you serve God in soul winning, for instance, Luke chapter 10, verse 1, 17 to 19. In verse 1, he sent the 70 to go and serve him. Verse 17, the 70 returned with joy. And hear what they say, even the devils that came to attack us, they were subject to us in his name, in your name. And Jesus said, you haven't seen anything yet. I saw Satan, I beheld him fell as lightning from heaven. But you will see something more. Now I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing, say with me, nothing. Let me hear you very well. Nothing shall by any method, whether charm or enchantment or magic, by any means hurt you. Say with me, I am serving God. Therefore, nothing shall by any means hurt me. You know what that means? If they put charm on your chair, if they put charm in your food, vitamin C. Amen. If they put rope on the floor for you to cross, you are crossing to your next level. That's what it means. Say it again, I'm serving God. I cannot be hurt by any devil. If you believe that, say it loud, amen. Number two, serving God guarantees our establishment in the faith. John chapter 15 verse 2. If you bear fruit in soul winning. You see, this is what I'm bearing, why I'm doing soul winning. I'm doing soul winning for my security, for my protection. I'm doing soul winning so I can be established in the faith. He projects you. If you bear fruit, he will stabilize you. He will keep you strong. Luke 13, 6 to 9. Jesus told the parable of a man who planted his field, and there was a particular tree that was not bringing fruit. He went to check it the first year, the second year, the third year, there was no fruit. He said, I will cut it down. You are of no use to God if you are not serving him. Serving God is the definition of your usefulness to God. Have you heard some parents say concerning their children, you are not useful to me. I trained you in school. You are not useful to me. You don't remember me. It's natural for somebody that is being taken care of to take care of the person that took care of him. Even God said, I planted you here. I gave you 3 years opportunity. You are not bearing fruit. So for you to be in church and be seated for 3 years, you have never spoken to anybody about your father's business. You've never told anybody about your father's house, the church. You have never invited anybody to come to church. Each time you come, what you want to do? Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray. Hot prayer, not ordinary prayer. and they have been praying hot prayer on your head all this while, and you still maintain coldness. What gives you value in any family, including the family of God, is your usefulness. Your relevance is defined by your usefulness. If you are not useful, you'll be cut down. Please be useful. How? By progressively advancing your father's house. Go to the street. Go to the lanes. Go and bring them. Bring the poor. Bring the maimed. Bring the blind. Your neighbors are there. Invite them. Your co-workers are there. Bring them to the house of God. Stop sitting down. I do. In Malachi chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. For those who are serving God. He said they will go forth and grow up. Verse 2. To save time. But unto you that fear my name. And you are serving me, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing, and ye shall go forth and grow up from today. Because you are serving God, you will go forth. You will grow up. Please join me, say, because I'm serving God, I shall be fully established in the faith. Number three, what do you enjoy unmatchably for serving God? It secures for you eternity. It secures eternity for you. What do we mean by that? There are rewards for this heart, and there are rewards for heaven. Jesus said, I will give you 100-fold on earth here, and in the life to come, eternity. Eternity. You see, whatever you receive on earth here is subject to corruption, but in heaven, there is no corruption. Let heaven be your greatest motivation for serving God. Luke chapter 10. Again, we read from verses 17 to 20. After the disciples told Jesus about their experience, in verse 20, Jesus said, well, I'm happy you have these testimonies. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Ah, your names are written in heaven. That's your motivation. Jesus furthermore said in chapter 22 of the same Luke, verses 28 to 29. He said to the disciples, ye are they which have continued with me in stewardship. Say with me, I will continue. I didn't hear you very well. And because of your kingdom stewardship in continuity, I appoint unto you a kingdom, a place in eternity, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table. Ah, on that final day, none of us will be missing there. You may eat and sit with me in my Father's kingdom. Back to that verse. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Somebody say amen. So everything you are doing now is creating a place for you in eternity. You will get there. But everything with God is about prescription. Therefore, what must I do to qualify for these rewards? Number one, we must serve God tirelessly. Tirelessly. Weariness is a device of the devil to stop people from serving God. Please say with me, I will not be tired serving God. Now, I didn't hear everybody say that. I will not be weary serving God. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 47. Please note, every reward comes at the end. At the end, just like in the physical, nobody will give you an award in the middle of a contest. It's usually at the end. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord
had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant. Look at that. This is where your blessing lies, in stewardship. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him consistent, shall find him so doing. Starting is not enough. Continuity is good, but finishing is the mark. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his good. When will he make him ruler? When he finds him doing the same thing. Will you please again raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, grant me grace not to be tired of serving you. Grant me grace not to be weary in serving you. 1 Corinthians 15:58, brethren, don't give up. Be steadfast, unmovable. They are mocking you, be unmovable. They are jesting and laughing at you, be unmovable. They are calling you mama living faith, don't bother. They are calling you Papa Goshen, just don't worry. They are asking you, when will you be married? Be steadfast. Say with me, I'll be steadfast. Always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Number two, what qualifies you for rewards? We must serve God as a privilege and not as a burden. As a privilege. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. God chose you not because you are the best. He put money in your hand to bless people, not because you can be the richest. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God has chosen you, the foolish of the world, to command the wise. You know why God chose you? He chose you because you are a fool. He chose me because I am a fool, not because I'm wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Why did he choose you? Because you are weak. And the base things, ordinary things of the world, and things which are despised, have God chosen, and the things which are not. You know what that means? I'm a non-entity. That's why he called me. To bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what that means? When you give, give liberally. Give as a privilege. A lot of times when I sit down counseling people across my table, something tells me, you could have been the one that they are counseling. You could have been the one they are counseling. Here you are preaching to drug addicts. You could have been the one suffering that addiction. Here you are preaching to people in beer parlor. You could have been the one that is looking tattered and worn out. We entered some drinking joints on Friday. The same thing on Thursday. And I saw people desperate, crying. We want to be free. I said, sit down. They said, no, pray for us. We want to be free. I don't like this thing. And here you are smiling. Why are you not the one under addiction? It's a privilege to be a soul winner. It's a privilege to be praying for people to be established in the faith. It's a privilege to give. Don't ever regard your stewardship as a burden. It's a privilege to be in the choir. It's a privilege to be an usher. It's a privilege to be in crowd control unit. It's a privilege to be in the technical unit. It's a privilege to be a pastor. Listen to me. I am not in any way better than any of you. Do you know any of you seated here can be picked by God to be preaching what I'm preaching right now? He can do that. In this kingdom, there are no specialists. There are only people giving opportunity. There is no specialist, including myself. I am not a specialist. Don't call me a great man. No. I'm an ordinary like you, given the privilege to serve God. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of man. Don't serve God as if you're a specialist. Don't serve God as a boss. You know why I'm in the field, like many of you are? It's because I'm not a boss. If you check the gospel, Jesus did not only send his disciples, he also went to the field.
He went to the field. Of the things which Jesus both began to do and to teach. Jesus was a soul winner. It's a privilege. Say with me, it's a privilege. Jeremiah 23, 33 and 34. You find those details here. Please raise your hand and thank God for the privilege he has given you to serve. Thank him. Thank him from the depth of your heart. Thank him and thank him from the depth of your heart. Father, I thank you for the privilege you've given to serve. I will not take it for granted. Grant me more grace. Pour your oil on me to serve you more. In Jesus' wonderful name we are praying. Now, with your hands still up, I decree that every invisible barrier around your life shall be destroyed. As we look at the subject of breaking invisible barrier, please let us know this morning that invisible barriers are real. They are real. First of all, what are barriers? Barriers are hindrances, an opposition to your progress and advancement. They are hidden forces, manipulating either you or people to be against you, moving people and things against your well-being. That's what we call invisible barriers. They are not physical. Behind every invisible barrier is our invisible forces. They are determined that they won't let you go forward. They are determined that they won't let you finish school. They are pushing you to drugs. They are pushing you to bad friends and pushing bad friends to come to influence you. Invisible barriers. They enter into people not to sign the check for the business you have done. They are there. A great door and effectual is open before me, but there are many adversaries. Invisible barriers, they are adversaries. 1 Corinthians 16, 9. Paul said, even Paul the apostle suffered invisible barriers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. He said, I, Paul, I will have come to you once and again, even me, Paul the apostle, but Satan hindered me. He didn't want me to go. Say with me, I will go. Let me hear you very well. Say it prophetically. I am moving forward. No barrier can stop me again. Declare it, no barrier can stop me. Matthew 13, 24 to 28, a man planted his field. And wild men slept. This is why you shouldn't sleep. Wild men slept. If you sleep, things will slip out of your hand. If you stay awake, the devil will stay away. Wild men slept. His enemy came and sowed. If you don't want the enemy to come, stand. Stand your ground. He came and planted. And when they asked for the meaning of the parable, Jesus said, in the continuation of the parable, when they asked the man what happened, he said, while men slept, the enemy came and planted. This is enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat. His enemies. There are enemies of your life and destiny. They will no longer succeed. I thought you said amen. The world is generally a battleground. There is no war-free zone in life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, all the way to verse 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. The whole world, light and wickedness. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. The whole world. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So there is wickedness everywhere. Psalm 74, verse 20. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the heart are full of the habitation of wickedness. Wickedness everywhere. They are there. But they will not succeed in stopping you again. But we are redeemed to be far from oppression. Say with me, I'm far from oppression. I didn't hear you very well.
Isaiah 54, verses 14 and 15. Thou shalt be far from oppression. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. And from terror he shall not come near thee.
Say amen, somebody. Even though they gather together, they will be scattered. Now, please lift up your hand. Every gang up of the devil against you, human, spiritual, diabolical, whatever way, whatever form they carry, I command that they be scattered right now. Say a prophetic amen. Wherever they are now, the fire of the Lord burn them to scatter. I decree that they be grounded into powder.
You will have your testimony shared this week. Whatsoever you don't want, therefore, don't watch. If you don't want it, don't watch it. Whatever you don't resist has the right to remain. You need to put up a resistance. And that's what we are doing this morning. We are putting up resistance. We are saying no more to the devil. We are saying enough is enough to the devil. How many of you will say with me, enough is enough? James 4, 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Ephesians 4, 27. And give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4, 27. And give no place to the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Somebody said, but I have been resisting the devil. Resist him again. Resist him again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your resister, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye steadfast? Resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast, knowing that the same affliction, the same attack are accompanying in your brethren that are all over the world. You are not the only person being attacked. It's just that others are not magnifying their own. You are talking of your resistance. Others are resisting the resistance. Who will get the result? Not the one talking it, but the one resisting them. Stop talking about the devil. Start resisting the devil. Somebody say amen. Stop describing the devil. Start attacking the devil. You have talked so much about the negative thing happening in your life. Now, begin to resist them. Say loud amen. Sickness will not go until you resist them. Failure will not go until you resist them. Barriers cannot be broken until you stand your ground and tell them, no, enough is enough. Somebody say with me, enough is enough. You are taking your miracle right now. Whatever you don't front, you cannot conquer. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Arise, take up your journey. I have already given you Sion, the Amorite, king of Ishmael, and the land. But you have to begin to possess it. Contend with him in battle. Contend. Without contention, there cannot be conquest. What do you do, therefore, to break invisible barriers? Number one, be born again. Be born again. Whatsoever is born of God is listed to overcome the world, to overcome invisible barriers. Being born again enlists you as a candidate for triumph and victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in Jesus. Our faith in Jesus qualifies us to overcome the world. Our faith in Jesus qualifies us to overcome the world. Will you say with me, if you are born again, I am born again. You become an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And in that kingdom, triumph and victory all the time. Number two, be committed to walking in the light of scriptures. Light is the realm of God. Darkness is the realm of invisible barriers. So the more light you possess, the less invisible barriers can withstand you. All of us know that you don't pray darkness away. You bring light and darkness will disappear. Switch on the light and darkness will disappear. Darkness has no definition. No. The definition of darkness is around light. Darkness simply means absence of light. Absence of light. So when light comes, darkness naturally gives way. And that's why there are many of us seated here by the grace of God. You came in under darkness. But as you came in here, light, pew, light, pew, light, pew, and suddenly your destiny became free. How? Nobody prayed for you. Nobody laid hands on you. But light, 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 light. Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the heart and God's darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon your life. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. The light shine in darkness and darkness cannot comprehend it. John's Gospel chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Number 3, be committed to walking in faith. Faith subdues opposition. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Take faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench, to stop all the fiery darts of the wicked, all invisible barriers. Listen to me, everything answers to faith. That's why the Bible says above all. Faith puts you above of circumstances. Faith puts you above your enemies. Faith makes you triumph in the midst of opposition. What this ministry is operating with as a major tool is faith. Faith took over Otta. Faith took over Goshen. Faith took over the nations. One of our churches in foreign mission today is counting over 20,000 every Sunday by faith. By faith. In the midst of opposition, by faith. By faith. Number 4, continue to speak boldly against unwanted situations around your life. Now, this is how to express your faith. Real faith speaks. Speaks. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. We also, having the same spirit of faith, wherefore we speak. Your faith is inexpressed without utterance. Your heart is the base of faith. But your mouth is the launching force of faith. Faith in the heart is different from faith in your mouth. If not spoken, it cannot be fully realized. You may have bullet in your gun. If you don't trigger it, the effect of the bullet cannot be known. Your mouth is the trigger to the bullet of faith. Faith comes to you when you hear the word of God, but faith goes into action when you speak the word of God. Thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be gone. Don't watch your situation, speak to your situation. There is a difference between speaking to God and speaking to your situation. Oh God, remove the mountain. Oh God, remove the mountain. God said, no, I won't remove the mountain. I have empowered you to remove the mountain. Thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed. Speak against invisible barriers. Luke 21:15. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom. None of your adversaries shall be able to resist. They cannot resist you if you are speaking. Somebody say amen. I didn't hear your amen. Respectfully, let me say this. The reason why some of you are seated here today is because we spoke against all the forces holding you down, that you must come. That's why you are here. That's why you are here. The forces holding you down didn't want to release you, but we challenge them. You devil, holding people down, they massacre all those drinking joints. We command you, leave them alone. And suddenly you wake up Sunday morning. Where will I go to this morning? And then the force released by faith tells you, dress up and go to Goshen. To go and do what? Just move. Move right now. That's how many of you moved to this church. You didn't like the church, but the forces moved you to this church. How? Because somebody is speaking. They may not like to give you job, but keep speaking against the opposition. Satan will never watch you move forward. You have to keep speaking against your position. If anybody thinks that this church is growing by accident, you are wasting your time. Every day speaking, this church must grow. All the devils must clear up. In the name of Jesus, we bind the devil. In the name of Jesus, all the forces of hell in our harvest field, we command you, leave the people alone. Don't wait. Don't watch. Confront the enemy with your utterance. Warfare is expressed through our mouth. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Not you will beg, not you will watch, but you will condemn them. Somebody say with me, I condemn every negative force against my destiny. You are told that, or you know you are under addiction. Your heart is panting after God. Don't say, oh, why did I smoke again? Oh, why did I drink again? No. You wake up. In the name of Jesus, from today, no more drinking. In the name of Jesus, from today, no more drug. In the name of Jesus. Once you speak like that, you are setting the devil to jitter. In the first service, we had the testimony of a man. He's been waiting for 9 years for their miracle baby. The wife conceived by miracle. And when it was time to be delivered, the doctor began to say some things that are funny. And he told the wife, I'm going out now to work, and gave her a bottle of water, blessed it, and told her, drink it. By the time I'm coming back, I'll be hearing the sound, the cry of the baby. Amen. As he was approaching the house, returning from work, stop negotiating with the devil. Confront your opposition. Doctors have told you, you will never have any healing. Confront them. Tell them, no. Jesus has healed me already. Say a loud amen to them. Yeah. Number 5, be committed to serving God and in the interest of his kingdom. We have said too much about that this morning. Be committed to serving God. No good thing will he withhold from them that serve him. Psalm 34 verse 10. Let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus chapter 4 verse 23, 22 to 23. If you don't let them go, I will kill your son. See, when you are committed to serving God, you come into partnership with God. Serving God brings you into partnership with God. So all barriers trying to hold you down, God shatters them. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. Number 6, engage the ministry of the prophet sent to you. Now, all of us are powerful, but in measures. In this kingdom, there are hierarchies. There are hierarchies. There are prophets over prophets. There are apostles over apostles. There are pastors over congregation. So anytime you are confronted, go to higher source. Many years ago in our church in Ibadan, a young man gave his life to Jesus and they were threatening him. He was an occultist. They threatened him. They said, we will kill you. We have made a coffin for you. You will die. You will go into the coffin. And this young man became jittery. But he remembered he had a prophet in the house. He said, I know I cannot fight you, but the God of my father, Oyedepo, will fight you. The coffin you have built for me, you will be the one to go inside it. Within 1 week, the head of the occult went into the coffin because he relied on the help. Now, one of the mission of prophet is to help us to break barriers. Moses broke the barriers of imprisonment in Egypt. Elijah broke the barrier of poverty and lack and want in the life of that widow. Elijah broke the barrier of that barrenness in that woman. God appoints prophets at different times over nations, over congregations, over cities, over continents. And thank God we have a prophet over this commission. And I'm standing on his behalf as one of the sons of the prophet this morning. Every barrier around your life shall be shattered. A lady came to this church, was invited by one of you who had high problem. Just 3 weeks ago, I got her testimony just a few days now. Almost blind. 2 years she has not been driving. Couldn't go to market. Couldn't cook. Couldn't read her Bible. And all she had is like, go, return with your testimony. And now the testimony came. By one voice, a prophetic voice. I declare today all the devils that say you won't go must go down for you. A young man met me. He said, things are not working. I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Godwin. I said, go and start winning. The next time I saw Godwin, he was in an aircraft. Godwin, what are you doing here? He said, since the day you told me to go and win, I started winning. I started winning. Do you know that from this moment, barriers will not hold you down again? Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And with them were the prophets helping them. Number 7, finally, continue to live a life of praise. They praised God until the walls of Jericho came down. I see all the devils holding you down coming down today. Lift up your hands and begin to thank God for all invisible barriers around your life broken today. In Jesus' precious name. Remember where we began from. Until you are born again, you will lose again. Without Christ, life will be full of crises. Jesus is the way out of that crisis. Jesus is the key to breaking that invisible barrier. You have been going through resistance here and there. Can anybody resist Jesus? No. That's why you must let him come into your life. Once he comes into your life, he takes over your battle for you. You are seated here this morning. You know you are not born again. You have not given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's why God brought you here this morning. This is your last bus. This is your last bus stop. This is your greatest hour, your opportunity. Wherever you are seated, without wasting time, you know you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to be free from those drugs. You need to be free from all those dirty things that you don't like. Stand to your feet with me. God bless you. Stand to your feet right now. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't want the devil to rule over my life again. Stand to your feet. Jesus wants to help you this morning. Now, some other persons are here. You gave your life to Jesus before, but you backslidden. You know you are no longer in tune with God. Something took you away. You didn't like it. You are doing all those dirty things now you are not doing before. You don't love God like you used to love him again. You are not following your mother to church again. You are not following your daddy to church again. You know how rebellious your life has become. You want to return back to Jesus? Because you are missing Jesus. Stand to your feet on the gallery, on the ground floor. All of you who are standing up, come to the altar here right now. Find your way here. Quickly, church. Let's celebrate Jesus, because multitudes are coming to give their life to Jesus this morning. Don't leave anything behind that you came to church with. Your bag, your cap, your telephone. Come quickly. Your wallet. Don't leave anything behind. Church, a big hand for Jesus as we receive them. You are tired of living a wayward life. You are tired of living your life on your own. You want to make heaven. You don't want to be influenced by any devil any longer. Come right away. Come right away. Come right away. Come and surrender your life to Jesus. Come right away. Maybe you invited somebody to church and you are seated with the person. The person doesn't want to come out alone. Why not? Come with the person right now. Come with the person right now. Come with the person right now. Maybe you came in company of friends. Your friends are trying to influence you to sit down. Tell them, follow me, and come before the Lord right now. Church, a big hand for Jesus as we receive more of the people coming to surrender their life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, somebody is seated out there. You have watched others left you behind. Your mind is telling you move. Something else is telling you to sit down. That's the devil talking to you.